try? Chris, do you have a...
That should be the primary goal, is to end this, not continue to perpetuate it, excuse me. That's what bothers me about this.
Well, I think we'll let Chris Huat to answer, but I think we're going to see homeless forever. I mean, it's been since Christ, so...
Mayor and Council, thank you. So yes, we do track the cost associated with programs and staffing. That is part of our internal discussion. I wouldn't be able to answer Mr. Rivera's question today on the spot, but what I can tell you is, yes, we do track that information. We have that information. Happy to get that to you. And you're spot on. Our goal is to reduce homelessness, and there will be individuals that for various reasons will be homeless, and that's unfortunate. And at the same time too, the coordination, the collaboration, the work that Ashley in particular has done, along with the CAT team, our fire department, utilities, public works, our office, we've done a lot of work within the last year or so to collaborate, to align resources, to better address the issue as it exists today and as it'll exist in the future, more so than we have in the past, from my perspective. So I know that's probably a little bit beyond what Mr. Rivera's question was, but we do track costs. And as Ms. Hernandez mentioned, we have had long conversations internally about tracking outcomes and what data points we are going to be tracking moving forward so we can get at, I think, some of the questions that you all have about measuring outcomes and what's the ROI. And that's exactly what we're doing right now, is putting that information together and those categories together. And as Ms. Hernandez mentioned, that will be part of her presentation starting next quarter. That'll be something that we're doing as long as those quarterly presentations are being made. So you all will start to see what those trends and patterns look like. We're going to have agreed upon data sets and agreed upon definitions. But up until this point, we were aggregating a bunch of different data points that were collected in different methods for different reasons. Ms. Hernandez has been able to work with all of our different departments and start to standardize some of that data collection and really start to empower our departments to collect even, I think, more detailed data to help better communicate to you all and to the public stakeholders.
So, Chris, I'd like to add for Mr. Rivera, a measurement of success is housing 351 people this year from January 1st today, permanently housing homeless people in Paso Robles and Atascadero. And that is, to me, the clearest success you could find, is finding a place for people to live permanently, get people in houses. And that's a big number for the number of people that they're working with at the program at ECHO. So.
Yeah, I was going to add on to that too. Again, it's been our council's mantra that we're willing to give a hand up and not a handout. I think partnering with ECHO, where we see direct results and there are rules and regulations to get them into permanent housing, that's where we're seeing the best money spent. And so I think I'm glad that council's direction is to, again, to continue to support ECHO, but nonprofits like that are, I think, a key instead of doing it through the government system. Councilman Strong.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, and I think if we're going to start looking at costs, then I think the first question we have to ask is, what is the value we place on human rights? The basic human right of every human being to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I would be very interested in anyone who can put a price tag on that particular element.
All right, we're going to go and move on then. We'll close this item. And we're on to general public comments. This is the time the public may address the council on items within its purview but not scheduled on tonight's agenda. Council or staff may briefly respond to statements or questions posed by the public. Please fill out a speaker card and give it to our city clerk upon speaking. You'll have 3 minutes. Those people wishing to speak on any agendized item tonight will have that opportunity when the item is being considered. So we'll start. Welcome.
Hello. I'm Carly Twisselman with the Pastoral Mills Downtown Main Street Association. We are part of a Shop Local initiative to remind residents of the importance of shopping local year-round, especially for the holidays. Next Saturday, November 29th, is Small Business Saturday, where we encourage people to go out and support your local neighbors. In 2024, shoppers spent an estimated $22 billion at U.S. small businesses on Small Business Saturday. And cumulative spending since 2010 is over $223 billion. Key consumer trends show a strong willingness to support local businesses, with 78% of consumers willing to pay more to do so, and 64% citing community impact as a reason to shop small. Please contact me at the Main Street office for more information as we are rolling out our initiatives for retail, dining, beauty, and online sales. We have local businesses involved in collectively sharing how to invoke community involvement to remind residents the importance of shopping local. Thank you.
Thank you, Carly. Dale, welcome.
Good evening again, Dale Gustin. I'm proud to be in the Main Street program and look forward to people coming out for the lighting ceremony. But I'm also involved in Thanksgiving for Paso. And we feed about 2,500 people free on Thanksgiving Day from noon to 2. Anybody that doesn't have a place to go for Thanksgiving, we feed. And we're happy to do it. We do it restaurant style. It's quite a glamorous organization. Everyone is invited. But also, we provide food on that day to Echo. So and it's all done with volunteers. There's no paid people in Thanksgiving for Paso. We're proud of that. So we look forward to anybody that wants to come, please come on out on Thanksgiving Day, noon to 2, at Centennial Park. And I think everybody knows where that is now. That's the same place we're at right tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Welcome.
Hi, Linda George, 3126 Spring Street. I remember for the last few years I would bring you the state updates, but have you guys heard about the corruption going on up at the Capitol? The $1 million in the PPP loans that we all cried about during COVID, Gavin Newsom's chief of staff spent that at luxury hotel stays. Also, Attorney General Bonta is going down probably with the Oakland Shangtao, which just reminds me to always remind city councils about ethics and lack not participating in corruption. What I wanted to say was the food ad hoc committee, that was really awesome. Warren, you guys did a really good job. There were a lot of people that had some straggler questions, but I felt like you guys gave everybody such an opportunity to say what they wanted to say that they should forever hold their peace at this point. And I will say, for the first time, watching Councillor Gregory and Councillor Bausch work together was awesome. There were no personality conflict. It was great. We got through it in 2 meetings. I wanted another one just because they were getting kind of fun. But because it was just nice to see them work together, and I'm just really happy that I got to be a part of that process. And so the other thing is, I just lost my notes. Okay, the public safety results. Chris, are we going to get those back anytime soon? That's my question. And then as far as the homeless, I'm going to say this. I think that everything that was explained tonight is great. I'm not going to put it down, because any progress forward is good progress. I'm just going to say, meanwhile, there are people in the riverbed that are cold, wet, and hungry. So I understand that some of the plans that you guys are moving forward will take some time. I get that. But all I'm going to say is, meanwhile, And I have to say this last thing. I went to the Grover Beach council meeting about the five-story, the buildings they're building over there, a little concrete jungle in the middle of paradise. And their city hall is pretty nice. You walk in, it looks like a beach. It's white. It's got blue colors. And I could have swore you were there that night, Mayor Hammond, because when the crowd clapped, the mayor went, "We only do this here." And I thought, this must be, you guys must discuss this at mayor meetings. Anyways, I didn't want to bang on you guys too much, but I am very disappointed in all the homeless stuff right now. I had hoped that with the grants, Oregon grant passing, you guys were talking about a safe parking space last year. You were talking about cleaning out the riverbed. You guys had a lot of good plans, and we're back to programs and services. Thank you.
Ma'am, welcome. Come on in. Yeah.
Thank you, Mayor Hammond, council members. I'm Jill Stearns. I'm the superintendent president of Cuesta College, and I'm here this evening to express our deep appreciation for our partnership with Paso Robles High School. And I want to share some of the success that that partnership has brought forward in local high school students. So we're passing out a little handout that will show you that last year we had 970 students at Paso Robles High School who were earning dual credit. They were earning credit that counts toward their high school completion as well as toward their college degree. Of those students, one of them finished their associate degree at the same time they graduated from high school. There were 58 different class sections that were offered at Paso Robles High School in which students earned college credit. Over the last 3 years, 352 students at Paso Robles High School became transfer prepared. That means that they graduated from high school and went straight into university as a junior. An additional two students earned their degree before they graduated from high school. And 284 students went on to earn their associate's degree at Cuesta College before transferring. Since 2021, 2,788 Paso Robles High School students have participated in dual enrollment. Right now, the child development program is on fire at Paso Robles High School. Last year, 11 students completed a certificate in this program, and 22 others were 98%. Completed by the end of the year. What we know is that dual enrollment makes a huge impact on students and their choice to attend college. 32% is the statewide average of high school students who go on to a community college. Those who have enrolled in dual enrollment attend at a rate of 80%. It gives them a great leg up on entering the career of their choice. So Quest has been recognized in California as serving the highest percentage of local high school students, and it's only through our partnerships with our great local schools. We appreciate Paso Robles High School very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill. Appreciate that.
Jill? Hi.
Hi.
Chris Bausch. I was on school board for about 10 years before seeing the light and coming over here to city council. How many teachers do we have now at the high school that have to be trained in order to be instructors for the dual enrollment program?
I don't know the number of teachers at Paso Robles High School because some teach more than one
right.
dual enrollment class, so I don't know what the current number is. Well, I'm happy to get that for you.
Well, they need to be recognized as well, and Cuesta needs to be recognized for that effort to train them in order to make this program possible. I read an article last night in Wall Street Journal, Ford Motor Company in trying to onshore manufacturing jobs is now up to offering what they call mechanics for assembly lines. Starting wage, $125,000. I found that astounding, and they cannot fill these jobs. Over 200,000 jobs going begging. We need not only these kinds of jobs, but we need to reorient our trade sector jobs. We have a wonderful welding program both at Cuesta and at the high school. We have...
It's in the top 10, welding and automotive technician.
And we absolutely need to reinvest and reorient all the trades. So anything that, I'm not sure what we can do as a city to support that at the high school and at Cuesta, but let's get creative and figure something out across the industries.
Telling the story so that students understand the family sustaining wage they can earn
yes.
in those occupations is critical.
Thank you for all you do.
Really quickly, thank you so much for coming and giving us an update on your programs. I'm not sure if you're aware, but the city revived a committee with the school district and Cuesta, and we've been meeting quarterly and just been talking about different issues where we can partner, shared interests, shared resources. I was just at Cuesta, I guess, a week ago, and we are very fortunate to have the North County campus here, and I just wanted you to know about the committee that we've got going. So we're all talking.
Dean Ruiz made sure I knew.
Oh, good. Thank you. But thank you for giving us an update.
Yes. Have a great evening.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? Welcome.
Hello, Council. Mayor Hammond. My name is Mike Camp. I live at 1221 Vine Street here in Paso. I am the founder and executive director of Earthshine, a local nonprofit that hosts community cleanup events across the Central Coast. I wanted to take some time today to thank the city of Paso Robles and several staff members who have helped our organization reach its 10th year of service. I wanted to recognize David Licaro today and Ashley Hernandez and Kim Porter, who's not here. We have some certificates today to present to them. I was going to bring them up here, but I don't want to embarrass them.
Okay, thank you.
Back in 2017, just a year after the creation of Earthshine, David Licaro and Michael Hendry called me in for a meeting at City Hall. They had noticed that I had been picking up a very large percentage of the litter collected via the city's Adopt the Street program, and they wanted to know more about me, about Earthshine, and about our future. I told them that I was passionate about helping communities look their best, that Earthshine was the vehicle for this passion, and that we were only 1 month away from receiving our 501c3 status. They encouraged me to continue on that path and stated the city would love to be part of our future. Rather than just giving me an attaboy or offering a small sponsorship for the work we were doing, they saw an opportunity to help grow an organization and strengthen it to handle the problem of litter that we all see throughout our travels. We proposed a monthly cleanup at the Riverwalk, and David Licaro and city staff approved our proposal. Those cleanups have helped us keep 60,000 pounds of litter out of the Salinas River and out of Monterey Bay, where the Salinas joins the Pacific Ocean. And when Michael Hendry, who used to coordinate the Adopt the Street program, announced his retirement, we requested an opportunity to submit a proposal to coordinate the program, which city staff once again accepted. Under the leadership of Kim Porter, who took over the stormwater manager role when David was promoted to operations manager for Streets and Stormwater, we have nearly doubled the amount of litter being collected through the program and tripled the number of pickups being conducted. We are always at 95 to 100% adoption, and the program is thriving more than ever. Finally, and this is our latest partnership with the city of Paso Robles, thanks to the leadership of Ashley Hernandez, homeless services manager, we have begun a program with the city through the county of San Luis Obispo that offers weekly trash service to the population of unhoused individuals in the city, particularly on the north end of town. We have seen residents taking advantage of, you guys saw the dumpster we have, the roll-off today. We have seen residents taking advantage of this service both by filling up bags that we have distributed to them, as well as by making use of the roll-off container that we provide to clean up their own camps as well as those of their neighbors. It's a collaboration that we hope helps give dignity to these individuals and an active role in the stewardship of the river and surrounding areas. Through these partnerships with the city, the Riverwalk cleanups, the Adopt the Street program, and the Blue Bag program, we are proud to announce that we have hired our first part-time employee. The support this has given Earthshine as we...
You continue. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. The support this has given Earthshine as we work to continue to build this organization has been immeasurable. While volunteers are the engine that keeps us going, having a dedicated employee helps ready to help us fulfill the contracts and programs that help the city look its best has been very appreciated, and we have these individuals and the city to thank for all the success. So thank you to David, Kim, Ashley, City Council, and all the city staff who have had the confidence in the work we set out to do back in 2016. Your support has helped us pick up over 185,000 pounds of litter since our inception, 100,000 pounds from right here in Paso Robles City streets, creeks, rivers, highways, and open spaces.
Would Earthshine like to go ahead and do a public presentation to David and
yes.
the staff? Come on up, guys. Yeah, David, Ashley, I think, yeah.
This guy.
You bet.
That's great.
The certificate says here, this is for David here, certificate of appreciation from Earthshine. It says the certificate is proudly presented to David Picaro for the instrumental role you have played in supporting the work Earthshine is doing to help the city of Paso Robles and the Central Coast shine. Thank you, sir. Thanks very much. And Ashley Hernandez, our latest collaborator, the same for you.
Very good. Great collaboration with Earthshine. Thank you for being here tonight.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're at this point, anyone online for general public comment?
Yes, Michael Rivera.
Okay. Michael, can you hear us? Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah, Michael, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay, you can hear me. You know, I wasn't going to call back, but you know, I'm going to push back a little bit because you can't rebut when you guys sit up there and virtue signal after somebody speaks. You know, this. You know, you talk about your bumper sticker replies to the public. I am the public. I am a taxpayer. Homeless forever, Mr. Mayor. You know, there has been times when we've had more and less amounts of homelessness. And many times it's been people who have volunteered, faith-based communities, etc., who have stepped forward and filled the need for many people that are suffering. Mr. Strong, you said, well, we got to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, or whatever context you meant that, obviously, to try to say that, well, I don't know what you were trying to say, but all I say is this. It's also life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness to the taxpayers who have to pay the price. And the fact that you didn't have the numbers that I was requesting to find out how much this is actually costing tells me that as long as you have other people's money to spend, you're fine with that. And then, as far as it goes with Mr. Gregory, we've placed 361 people. Well, great. What did that cost? And how many of those people are still could have been helped in other ways rather than spending tremendous amounts of money and time and staff time doing what may not even be our job? It amazes me how, you know, when you're faced with a tough job, you won't just really attempt to do the heavy lifting. And that's place the work, not just with staff and push it onto the taxpayers, but actually ask the community, how are they going to help solve this problem? Because you may not like the answer. Because many people who have been out there and have been tough times and have difficult situations have worked their way through it. But you want to sit up there and attempt to virtue signal as to how great you are as long as you're spending other people's money. I'd like to see you pull it out of your pocket. The millions of dollars that are being spent, why don't you pull it out of your pocket?
Summarize, if you would,
Michael. Let's just see how much. Well, I've summarized for the last 3 minutes. The fact is, you guys can go ahead and sit up there and pontificate and then use your bumper sticker virtue signaling nonsense, but not answer the question and have the information that you should have when that presentation is made, the bottom line.
All right, thank you, Michael. Appreciate it. Anyone else online?
Yes, sir. Mary Ubersacks.
Okay. Mary, can you hear us? Go ahead.
Can you hear me? This is Mary Ubersacks. I'm at 790 Pine Street. And Mayor Hammond, other members of the City Council, and the dedicated staff, I wanted to thank you to let me follow up on such great presentations this evening. But I am calling to discuss the calendar item of Small Business Saturday, and as the champion for the downtown Paso Robles and Main Street Small Business Saturday campaign, I'd like to inform the City Council that we are again joining communities nationwide to celebrate Small Business Saturday. And through this call, I'd like to invite every resident and visitor to intentionally shop small and support our unique, dedicated merchants, particularly those in the heart of our beautiful downtown corridor. I'd like to also remind people that this is the day that we spotlight our entrepreneurs who invest energy, their savings, and their vision right here in Paso, like my shop, Earth Tones, that has been there for 20 years now. These are the neighbors who run our coffee shop, the boutiques, the galleries, and our tasting rooms that give the city this award-winning character. We don't do it alone. We have the sectors, the three leaderships of the community, the small businesses, and the city staff and leadership. When we come together, we're a vital ecosystem, and I think that Small Business Saturday is a reflection of that. We come together following our Thanksgiving holiday, and on the 29th, this Saturday, following Thanksgiving, we'll be able to showcase all of that goodwill working together. And I want to remind people, small businesses help to keep dollars spent in our downtown that circulate there, local jobs are enhanced there, and it reinforces the quality of life that we all enjoy. It fuels our economy, and it gives us a responsive and adequate support for our continued education and our non-governmental infrastructure as well. I really want to highlight and thank the city staff and leadership for keeping aware of our lights and our safety and our roadways and our potholes and our decorations, because all of that environment helps our economic development. I want to highlight also the community who shows up on our businesses, especially on the Small Business Saturday after Cyber Friday and all those things, and just come downtown and really enjoy what we've pulled together as businesses for Small Business Saturday. To the council and staff, thank you for continuing to support Small Business Saturday, and I hope it leads to an enduring long-term goals for our city. So thank you for your time, and once again, shop small, love local, and we look forward to a successful Small Business Saturday on November 29th.
Thank you, Mary. Anyone?
Thank you very much.
No, sir.
Okay. Go ahead and then close public comment, and then we'll move on to the next item. Agenda items to be deferred. Mr. Huat, do we have anything?
Mayor, no items for deferral this evening.
Very good. Next, we have the overview of items on consent calendar. Mr. Huat, would you explain that, what we have on 1 through 7, looks like?
Yes, Mayor, thank you. We have 7 items on the consent calendar, and the first is the approval of the minutes from the November 4th, 2025 City Council meeting. Item number 2 is the receipt of the warrant register. Since our last, over the last check run, excuse me, the city has issued $2.6 million worth of payments. I'll cover those that exceed more than $100,000, and there were 3 of them. The first was a payment to Granite Construction Company. This was for the Creston Road Phase 1 work that Ms. Esperanza talked about earlier. Funding came out of the capital fund in the amount of $1,046,372.10. The next payment was made to San Luis Obispo County. This is for the City of Paso Robles portion of the animal shelter. in supporting animal control services in the amount of $115,948.26. And then the third and final item this evening is a payment to First American Title Company. This is related to title and escrow fees associated with the acquisition of certain properties for the Aerotech Way in the airport area in the amount of $201,839. Jumping back over to the consent calendar, item number three is an approval of resolution declaring certain real property located 19110 Riverside Avenue within the city as non-exempt surplus land, and this is pursuant to state government code, also known as the Surplus Land Act. Item number four is the approval of an award of a contract. This is for a logo and branding work related to the municipal airport. This work was recommended as part of the work that consultants did about a year and a half ago, making certain recommendations for the airport, and a logo and branding was one of them, so this is that item. Item number three is the approval of an oak tree removal. This is within Turtle Creek Park, a city-owned park. Item number six is the authorization of an application to the Sustainable Transportation Planning Grant Program. This grant that we're seeking would update the bicycle and pedestrian master plan that was last approved in 2018, so it's getting a little long in the tooth. And this grant program would help pay for that update. It would also look at advancing some work that I believe is already identified in our bicycle and pedestrian master plan, which is the 13th Street corridor area, making that a little more safe for bicyclists. And item number six, the resolution that you're considering is a requirement to apply for the grant, and that's why we're doing it. Item number seven is the approval of a professional services agreement amendment with Oasis Associates. This is related to the Hunter Ranch Golf Course project that is in the planning and entitlement phase right now. And so this work helps supplement staff work in reviewing and organizing the work that the entitlement process entails, and this is reimbursed by the developer. With that, Mayor, we'll be happy to answer any questions.
Very good. Thank you, Chris. Items on the consent calendar are considered routine and do not normally require separate discussion. However, any member of the council or the public that have specific questions or clarification on the item, we can address that before the vote is taken tonight. If a full discussion is desired by a member of the council or the public, that item will be removed from the consent calendar and be considered separately and moved to the end of the discussion item agenda tonight. I will now ask the council if they have any questions first, and then we'll go to the public. Councilman Bausch.
Thank you. I have a couple questions. Item number three, we received a letter from the event center from Colleen. Was that incorporated into the remarks?
So what's before you tonight is just to approve for us to put it out for the time period required under the statute. So we'll accept their letter as someone who's expressed an interest, and then they'll be involved in the process as we move forward.
So I noticed in the report, the agenda report, this was request that was sent to the state was only specific to Pioneer Museum. What if a state entity wanted to purchase the property?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand you over the noise. Can you say that one more time?
The request that was sent, I don't recall, let me find it here. So the request that was sent to the California Department of Housing and Community Development was specific to the prospective buyer, Pioneer Museum Foundation. And I respect that, but what if the prospective buyer was somebody else?
So that's fine. What we'll do is we'll put, sorry, it's echoing, the notice of availability out. And then we'll talk with Pioneer Park Museum people. We'll talk with whoever else submits, including the state fair, if in our conversations with them it becomes clear that an exemption may apply, then we can talk to HCD about that during the 60 days.
Not to put too fine a point on it, but this won't go straight to surplus property.
Well, once you declare it surplus, which is on the agenda for tonight, then we'll issue the notice of availability. We take in all the people who are interested during that time period. We're required to wait the entire time period before we can talk to anybody about anything specific. And then once we have that, we will figure out what's the best way to proceed, whether it's declare it exempt, because we can come back and do that if there's somebody who responds and fits within an exemption, or if the council isn't interested in going that path, then we would continue down the negotiation process.
I guess my concern is that I wasn't aware that we were going to make it so specific when we sent this to the California Department of Housing and Community Development. I thought we were going to make them aware that there were other interested parties, such as the state. My understanding was that this could have been, had that been presented to HCD, the event center as a state entity could have qualified for that exemption.
They may have qualified for a different exemption.
But it wasn't presented to HCD as that, so I'm taken aback that it wasn't presented that way.
We had not received formal notification from them that they were interested prior to the publishing of the agenda. And so the way the process works under the SLA is that we put out the notice of availability, we take in information. If someone qualifies for an exemption, then we can raise that with HCD at the time.
What would have qualified as formal notification?
Well, the letter that we got, I don't know, yesterday or the day before. I'm not sure what day it came in.
So really, tonight, what this is all about is just to declare the property as non-exempt and that we're going to move forward to make it available. That's all this is.
Correct. It's just to make it available, and then, like the way I explained it, if the process works is we make it available. If we hear from somebody who has a project or for whatever reason qualifies for an exemption, then we can analyze that at this time. So, for example, if we put this notice of availability out and we get a response from someone who wants to build something that qualifies under one of the 15 or so exemptions, we would analyze that at this time and then proceed to determine how to proceed once we have all the information.
Got it. Okay. All right.
I'm not comfortable with that. I'd like to pull this completely.
If you want to pull it, okay.
I want to pull it.
You're right. I'll go ahead and do that then. So we'll pull item 3. And anybody else have any questions on anything?
I do.
I have a question on item 4. I'd like to maybe pull or table or see if we can't bring this back at a further date. And I'm not sure if we can do that by myself or if other people have to weigh in on that. This is the award of the contract for logo design for the airport.
Yeah, Mayor, I believe, and I'll look to the city attorney as well to confirm, but in the motion for the consent calendar approving the other items, with the exception of the one that was pulled, if your motion includes language that you would like to have staff come back under, you know, looking at whatever you would like us to look at in a little bit of direction, then you could probably consider that as part of the motion to approve the balance of the consent calendar or whatever else action you want to take on the consent calendar.
Okay, well, let's just pull it for right now and then we'll address it in that manner.
So I just have a quick clarification on question on item 5.
Go ahead, Chris.
Is Dwayne still here? Do we know where the replacement trees will be placed?
Yes, sir.
It's on, yeah.
Most likely we will pick locations within Turtle Creek Park.
Good.
We'll pick places that are appropriate.
Okay, and if not sited there, somewhere else on that side of the city?
Yes, maybe down in Oak Creek Park. Right.
Okay, so, thank you.
Okay.
And then I have a question for Warren on 7.
Okay.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Thank you, Dwayne.
Are there currently sufficient funds to cover the additional amendment should the project fail to move forward?
Right now, we're in the process of collecting an additional deposit from the developer.
Okay. And that's a normal process, right?
Yes.
Nothing out of the ordinary. Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
So that's, any other council have any questions at this point? We'll open up then to public to have any questions or pull an item. We are currently pulled on 3 and 4. We're going to hear that separately. If you want, Rob, you can just hang on. We'll bring that up in a minute. Okay. Okay. We'll go ahead and then open it up to council for discussion and or action.
Mayor Hammon.
Pro Tem Gregory.
I move that we approve items 1, 2, 5, 6, and 7 on the consent agenda.
Second.
Okay, motion by Gregory, second by Strong. Discussion? Call for the question.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond? Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, we'll go ahead and move on then to public hearings. I'll open the public hearings, and tonight we have one item, 2026 Community Development Block Grant Program and the Draft Annual Action Plan. Darren Nash, you have that item?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. As you mentioned, this is the 2026 CDBG Draft Action Plan. Liquor going here. We need training on the. So tonight we're looking at the draft action plan. This is looking for council to review the applications that were submitted for the 2026 program year, give some direction to staff to create a final action plan that we'll bring back to you in March. So tonight is the opportunity for the council to take a look at the applications, we'll review them. It's possible that we have some representatives from some of the applications here and get some direction. So the CDBG funds are federal funds allocated through the county for the purpose of benefiting low-income persons or eliminating blight. We're looking tonight for council to help prioritize the allocations. The first category is the public improvement project. The second is public service programs, such as nonprofit, low-income benefit, and then grant administration. It's anticipated that the city would receive approximately $259,000 for the 2026 program year. Of that, $207,000 or 80% can go towards projects and programs, and 20% or around $50,000 could go to administration. As far as administration goes, just a reminder that the city works hand in hand with the county for the distribution of the community development block grant funds. The county actually does quite a bit of work of getting those funds from the federal government and then helping allocate those through the different programs. With an agreement that the city has with the county, 13% of the funds would stay with the county, and then the 7% would come to the city. So of the $50,000, about $33,000 would stay with the county. About $18,000 would come to the city for administering the grants for 2026. So taking that in consideration, what we'd have is a total of $226,000 coming to the city, $168,000 for a public improvement, about $38,000 for public service, and then the $18,000 for administration. So the city received two applications for public service. One application was that the city submitted was approximately public services. So we received two applications for public services, approximately $38,000, or approximately $60,000 for the applications, where the maximum available is $38,000. So with the review of the two public service applications, we'll have to figure out how to reduce that amount and come up with some direction to staff to come back with in the March final action plan. The two applications we received was CAPSLO, or Community Action Plan of San Luis Obispo, for their senior day care program in the amount of $21,500, with the second application being El Camino Homeless Organization, ECHO, for homeless shelter operation costs and social services in the amount of $38,967. So as I mentioned, it's a little over what we have to provide for those two, so we'll need to come up with some suggestions, some alternatives for reducing those grants. The options for doing that is distributing the maximum grant amount amongst the two public service applicants, meaning each grant amount would be approximately $18,185. So that's taking it, splitting it in half, giving half to each public service applicant. Or you could approve one to two public service grants in a manner that would result in the total amount of that $38,967. Or the other alternatives is you would not fund the public service grants, and the $38,000 could go towards a public works project. So we do have the city submitted an application for the public improvement project. So the 24th Street crosswalk, apologize about the typo there. So we saw an opportunity on 24th Street to work on a crosswalk project mid-block between Riverside Avenue and Highway 101, kind of near the entrance to the fair there. So this is an opportunity to provide some crosswalk, some signage. There would be a refuge island, a list of things that we could do for that amount of money, and that's the public improvement project that we've applied for the city's application. The other application we got was for CAPSLO, and it's the number two up in that first table, for a home repair program. So they submitted an application. This is separate from the CAPSLO request for the public service. This is what they call a home repair program, in the amount requested of $48,750. So they have a program where they take these funds and they go out to different homes that need help with repairs to do different $8,000 to $10,000 amount projects. Some of the examples they gave was for like roof repairs or water damage repairs, things that they've done in other parts of the county. They did specifically apply to the city, and they followed up with a letter after their application indicating how they would use this amount of money in the city of Paso Robles. So hopefully there's someone here who can answer more questions on that program, since it's something that this is the first time I'm aware of applying to the city. But those funds, that $48,000, that would come from that $168,000 available for the public improvement project. So that would compete with the funds that we're requesting to use for the crosswalk on 24th Street. Council has the ability to approve both of them of some sort, reduce the amount for the crosswalk project, or choose one or the other. So that's something that we're asking for direction for. And that concludes my report, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Darren. First question is, what's the cost or estimate for the 24th Street crossing?
It was the $168,888.
That's your number. That's what we're going to need. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I wasn't sure if that was not still enough to do the project, but that's what you're estimating.
No, I think working with the engineering and coming up with a plan and some estimates, that's a project that could be done within that amount.
Okay. All right. Councilman Belch.
Darren, I think I may see a typo here on the summary of public improvement project. This is on page one, paragraph one, City of Paso Robles Parkview/Airport Road crosswalk project down below.
Correct. Airport Road was last year's.
Right.
So that's a typo. I apologize.
So this is over by the fairgrounds.
Correct. 24th Street.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time since I had anybody involved in the ag section of the fairgrounds, but I know that's a really dangerous crosswalk, especially during fair time. It amazes me that it would cost $168,000 to fix that crosswalk, but I could certainly see that being a worthy project. And I hate to say that because I see Myra sitting back there, but that crosswalk has been needed attention for decades, ever since I've been involved. So I could see that being a really, really worthy use of funds. It would be hard placed. And can you give us, or maybe Myra would like to, and I don't know, but at some point we could hear from Myra how that $48,000 would be used in the city. But it would take a lot of convincing for me not to use that for the sidewalk.
Pro Tem Gregory.
Yeah, Darren, could you, last year we did under the public services, can you tell us the amounts we awarded last year?
You know, right off the top of my head, I don't have that on me. I believe the little more was given to Echo than the other, but I don't recall the specific numbers.
Okay, so maybe Mira.
And I think there was a third applicant.
Last year there was.
Last year.
Not this year. Okay. I'll ask where a speaker
gets. I think you asked me that last year too, so next year I'm going to have to ask.
I know somebody who'll have that answer right there, so I'll wait for her to get up and speak. Thank you.
Councilmember Beal.
So I agree that there's definitely a need in that area for the crosswalk. I was curious what staff's thinking was in terms of characterizing that location as kind of a low income benefit.
Well, I think in general, when you take a look at the ability for pedestrians to cross the street, whether they're going to one of the service stations or the markets, I think the fact that pedestrians are going through there and being safe categorizes it as a benefit.
I think in years past too, yeah, and I don't know how this falls into the category, but a lot of unhoused will cross that area too.
I'm sorry, what was
unhoused
that?
Will use that area, that crosswalk.
Is that sort of the information that you have in terms of that particular crosswalk?
Again, that's a crosswalk for pedestrians on a busy street. You know, whether the businesses are there, or you know, eventually the plan would be to hopefully connect sidewalk from there up to Riverside Avenue is, you know, in the long range plan there. Just seeing an opportunity there of making it safe for pedestrians and.
You know, I'm a big fan. I drug you all out. you know, to uptown to look at some areas. And I do think that that particular crosswalk is an area, is a problem. But there are also lots of other areas, specifically in very diverse neighborhoods that have very regular daily pedestrian traffic. I don't always think of that crosswalk as being busy typically. I see it as being busy around the fair. I see it busy around events. So I was just curious what the thinking was. Yeah.
Pro Tem Gregory.
Yeah, just for the record, Councilwoman Beale, it is the only crosswalk between the freeway and Riverside Drive. So everybody on that sector has to come up to cross over there. So I think it's a highly used crosswalk by everybody, just for the edification.
And in non-fair times, we have a lot of homeless folks that are down there crossing in between cars.
Yeah.
And this would be helpful, I think, for safety's sake, to be able to do something like this. But let's continue.
Councilman, I was going to say that with my many years of experience at the fair, that is used a lot by the FFA and 4-H kids to go get lunch when they're exhibiting their animals. So, and a lot of them are low income, as well as being the only potentially relatively safe crossing for the homeless people that are up at the shelter to get across to those the food services over that side and some of the bathroom services that are available. So, and that area, it does get them crossing right now too much in the danger areas because it's not considered a safe crossing anyway. So they'll cross where there's no crosswalk at all. And that would, that's worse.
Okay.
This would be very beneficial.
I know.
Councilman Bausch.
One last point of observation. I had a business on Riverside right around the corner there from 86 until 2002. So I went in and out across that street on a two or three times a day. Not as many unhoused people back then as there in 86 as there were in 2002, and certainly not as many as there are now. Certainly quite a few, so it's an accident waiting to happen.
Okay, this
I think money well spent.
Mostly questions here, so yeah, let's continue. So we're good on council for questions right now to staff.
Mayor, if I may, just to go back to answer Mr. Gregory's question, I was able to find last year that the council awarded about $15,200 to Capslo for adult daycare services and $15,200 or so to Echo for homeless-related services. So that was from last year's allocation.
Okay, and there was a third public service that applied.
I'm looking at the minutes from the February meeting.
No, I have it. I have the information.
Oh, you do? Okay, great.
So
thank you.
There was approximately $15,000 to the two that, and then there was a third that didn't get funded.
Five cities. Thank you.
Okay, I was going to open up. I think we have Capslo's representative here. So let's go ahead and hear from Capslo, if you would. Welcome. Good to see you.
Good evening, Mayor Hammond and City Council member and city staff. My name is Mara Witten, and I'm the program manager for the Capslo Adult Day Center in Paso Robles. We so appreciate the recommended funding for our center that provides a safe place for low-income seniors with dementia and Alzheimer's disease to stay during the day so that their caregivers can work. We can't continue our work without your support. On behalf of Capslo's Energy Services Department, which applied under CDBG home funding for minor home repair, I'd like to read a statement from the program's director, Jim McNamara, who is speaking at another city council meeting tonight and couldn't be in two places at once. The